It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Hello there, and welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here. On today's show, we have an excellent guest. Returning is Dr. Paul Selecki, the medical director of Hogue's pulmonary department, who's board certified in internal medicine, a clinical professor of medicine at UCLA, and also a diplomat of the American Board of Sleep Disorders. Welcome, Dr. Selecki.
Yes, good morning. Glad to be back.
Great to have you. First of all, let's get a working definition of what sleep apnea actually is. Can you help us with that?
Sure. The word apnea comes from the Greek. It means not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
The setting generally is someone who is a loud snorer, which implies that his airway is somewhat narrowed and compromised, but that his bed partner or family notices that there are pauses in the snoring sound because his throat will collapse on itself and close off, and it can't get any air in. So the brain gets aroused to a lighter level of sleep, the airway opens up, and the oxygen comes right back.
Mm-hmm.
But this can occur many, many times during the night and disturbs the patient's sleep. But we also know now that this increases the risk of developing heart attack, hypertension, stroke, and in patients who have diabetes, it can aggravate the management of diabetes as well.
Right, because sleep apnea, as we all know, is more involved than just the drowsiness during the day and the snoring at night. Tell us about the CPAP devices you currently work with to help people with this problem.
Well, the patient is, the diagnosis is made by a all-night stay in our sleep center, which we've been operating since 1987. And it's a bedroom kind of setting. It isn't a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And we monitor the patient's sleep and breathing. And if they have the diagnosis of sleep apnea, the most successful treatment these days is the patient now gets his breathing assisted with a device that brings air to the back of the throat and keeps it propped open with kind of an air splint so that the collapse no longer occurs.
Is it made of plastic, or what does it physically look like?
Well, it's like a scuba mask that someone, if they're familiar with scuba diving, or simply like the oxygen tubing that goes inside the nose. There has to be different ways in which the air is brought to the nose and throat. The CPAP, C-P-A-P, stands for Continuous Positive Airway Pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the patient has sleep apnea, we'll study them for several hours, confirm the diagnosis, wake the patient up middle of the night. Okay, now let's treat it and have the patient put on the mask of his choosing. It's like, I say it's like buying a pair of shoes.
Okay.
You got to get something that fits properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we apply the CPAP and find the exact best settings for that patient. And they start using that. It takes a little getting used to, but over a brief period of time, it becomes natural because all the symptoms fall away, and those risks I talked about, cardiovascular disease, now disappear.
And also, the when you affect the management of diabetes, this is a very, very wonderful thing, so you can really eliminate those problems.
Yes, and many of our diabetic experts are now sending us their patients when they have difficulty in managing their diabetes, saying, please look to see if they have sleep apnea, because if you can treat that, it'll make the diabetes management much better.
Excellent. Now, the CPAP device is something you wear continuously every night for the rest of your life, or is it something you wear temporarily until you regulate your sleeping patterns?
Well, it has to do with the anatomy of the patient. It occurs more commonly in the older patient. You can't change the age. And it happens more commonly if they're overweight, and weight loss can help, but that is often very difficult to do. Especially where the weight is distributed. We know, for example, in a man who has a measured neck size of 17 inches and is a snorer, that's a high chance he has sleep apnea.
Okay.
In women, it's 16 inches. And so we can alter that anatomy. It can improve. And only, say, in small children, ages 7 to 9, who have large tonsils and have sleep apnea because of that, tonsillectomy can help those. But in the adult, that's less of an issue.
I never heard that. Okay, that's very interesting. So, check your kids, make sure their tonsils are normal sized. They're having trouble. That can save a world of problems.
Oh, yes, because it affects the child's demeanor during the day, performance in school, irritability during the day, and can affect their growth because growth hormone is released during sleep. And if the sleep is disturbed, that is suppressed.
Fascinating. Now, let's get this out of the way. Devil's advocate, in your opinion, are any of those devices we see on TV, like the nasal strips that keep your passages open, are any of these effective in preventing sleep apnea?
No, they don't. It has to be specifically designed for the needs of that patient, which is what occurs in our sleep center. The nasal dilator strips might be helpful for someone who has a stuffy nose now and then, and it's worth a try. But it would be helpful only if someone's total problem is a stuffy nose. Okay. If we make sure that's out of the way before we study them in the lab to make sure that we have addressed every reversible condition that might exist.
Now, in the U.S., we tend to have a rather large national sleep debt, getting about 6 hours a night on average, versus our ancestors who had 9 a night, and, you know, they just went to bed when the sun went down. They didn't have light bulbs, and, you know, they didn't stay up till midnight reading. They just went to bed. How important is having regular sleep as a schedule so we're not sleep-deprived during the day?
The impact on insufficient sleep on the society in general is very high. As you called it, a national sleep debt has been responsible for increased automobile accidents, the Challenger explosion, the Exxon Valdez occurred during sleep deprivation in the middle of the night, and it has these other risks that we talked about relative to poor quality sleep. You don't heal as well after infection and the like. It requires discipline. Everybody knows about regular exercise. Everybody knows about a good balanced diet, and they ignore the third pillar of important of good health, and that is a good night's sleep. The average adult should be getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night. You say, oh, I get by with 5. That's exactly what's happening. They get by with 5.
Right.
They really need 7 to 8 hours.
And even if your job is not to be the pilot of the Challenger, you know, you pilot your own car pretty much every day, most people anyway. So you do put others at risk as well.
That's
this
true.
Leads to a question from Sonia from Mission Viejo, an email question. She's a single mom with 3 young children who works full-time, and to get everything done in a day, she goes to bed late and gets up early. She's asking if there's anything she can do to make up for short nights of sleep, like cat naps during the day or on her lunch hour, in order to feel less sleep-deprived.
I have a great deal of empathy for the mother of small children, having raised 5 children of our own, and now... with our grandchildren, there is no easy answer because she is needed to be, or dad, to be involved with all the kids' lives and helping them in the middle of the night. And so, yes, if someone is chronically sleep-deprived and they cannot change their circumstances because they're involved with the care of others, that taking a nap can be helpful. We say try to limit the nap to maybe about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Sleeping longer is probably not even possible, but maybe mothers and fathers have said, well, I'll lie down when the baby goes down for a nap, and I'll take a nap too. That's a good idea. That's
right.
Not a time to get the load of wash in or get the dishes done or get ready for dinner, because then the sleep-deprived parent is an irritable parent that is impatient and jumping up the handle at the kids when they themselves are sleep-deprived.
Exactly. It's just a host of symptoms and effects when you don't get enough sleep. And, you know, again, we really need to try to correct that, because we not only affect the people in our own family, as you said, by flying off the handle, but, you know, we affect other people on the roads. And with our, you know, road rage is a huge problem. And I think a lot of that might be, I guess there's 30% of our national population is a bit sleep deprived or suffers from insomnia.
And exactly right. We are a sleep deprived nation. That's not unique to us. I mean, I think that happens in other countries as well. In Mexico or South America, they talk about taking a siesta, which sounds very sound, but I understand in urban areas like Mexico City, people are still busy, like we are here in the United States.
Sure.
And their sleep gets sacrificed.
Plus, the REM patterns don't have a chance to be established during a quick nap.
Well, REM sleep is an important part of sleep. REM standing for rapid eye movement. That's when we do most of our dreaming. And for someone who is sleeping 6, 7, 8 hours, they have a period of REM sleep every 90 minutes through the night.
Mm-hmm.
If as the studies have been done, where they took volunteers, and every time they went into REM sleep, they were aroused from sleep. They got enough quantity of sleep, but their quality was not as good. Because it's an important time, its role as to why that occurs in every 90 minutes is not clear. But people ask, which is the most important part of sleep? It is all important, REM sleep and the other deep stages of sleep as well. And you won't get that if you take a short nap.
And you won't get that if you are sleeping with a snorer that's continually waking you up as well. So even if you don't suffer from sleep apnea, you're going to suffer from a sleep disorder.
That's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh. How fast did that go, Dr. Selecki? I cannot believe that it's time to say goodbye for today, but we want to thank you so, so very much. And is there a number to call in case people have more questions?
Sure. At 949-764-8070. That's the Sleep Center. And there's clearly somebody there to answer their questions.
Thank you so much. For more information, you can also visit hoaghospital.org and listen to a podcast of this show whenever you like and tell a friend. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach. Please stay with us. There is much, much more to come.